This story of the 10 lepers is recorded only in the Gospel of Luke. It's a very blessed and instructive story with the emphasis on this one who returned back to give thanks to the Lord for what he had done. Verse 16 said that one of the 10 fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Old preacher Joe Parson used to say, watch words in the Bible. When you're reading the Bible, don't just speed read. Stop and think about a word or a phrase. And many, many times the Lord will make it alive to you. And it'll get bigger and bigger. And so as I've read this, there's several thoughts here that we're just going to do that with for a few minutes this morning. The story begins in verse 11 with these words, and it came to pass. Notice it's not as luck would have it. That's not in the Bible. And it's not, it just so happened. That's not in the Bible. But it's, and it came to pass. Why did it come to pass? Because it was decreed, ordained to come to pass. It came to pass. According to the woman's statement in John chapter 4, Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And yet in that fourth chapter of John, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why must he? Because he said he must. It was on the divine agenda from eternity. I must needs go through Samaria. The Lord Jesus, contrary to popular opinion, didn't just make up his mind about things a day at a time. He came here with his whole schedule. And he never got off it. Amen. I must needs go through Samaria. And so it is here. He passes through Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12 said, he entered into a certain village. Not just any village, but a certain village. When you're reading the New Testament, especially the four Gospels, watch for that word, certain. It occurs here in Luke's Gospel 43 times, in Luke's Gospel alone. There's certain people. There's certain places. There's certain times. Our Lord deals in certainties, not possibilities. There's no need to look at anything in this Bible and saying, well, it could have been, it could have happened. No, it is what it is. He deals in certainties. And here it's a certain village. A specific village, there met him 10 men. He came to where they were, and yet the text doesn't say that he met them, but they met him. This word met, or to meet, it means to join another in his journey. Joined to become one, going the same direction. When a man and woman are married, what therefore God hath joined together, it's a joining. It's not for one to dominate the other. and kill the life of the other. No, no. It's for the life of the man to belong to the woman, the life of the woman to belong to the man. The two become one flesh. And so we read, there met him 10 men. He never met them. He knew who they were, but they met him. When our Lord returns, and I realize a lot of people have different ideas about eschatology, about the Lord's return. But when the Lord returns, the scripture says that we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Not him to meet us on our way up, but us to meet him on his way down. We're not caught up for him to join us in our journey, but for us to join him in his journey. And there met the Lord here 10 men. He didn't join them to become a leper himself. No, they met him to be cleansed of their leprosy. And so there's a difference. Leprosy, you know, is an awful disease. And all 10 of these are said to be lepers. We don't read if they're respectable men or if they're scoundrels. We don't read if they're old or young. We don't read if they're rich or poor. We read the one thing they have in common, they're lepers. It being the awful, incurable disease, these men dared not come close and approach the Lord Jesus. We read in the end of verse 12 that they stood afar off. And that's where all Adam's race stands by nature, afar off. Alienated from God, corrupted with the leprosy of sin. And in verse 13, they cried for mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The only people who cry for mercy are those who know they need it. Do you spend any time crying to the Lord for mercy? Maybe you don't need it. These fellows knew their condition. They knew their only hope was mercy. They lifted up their voices. Not two or three of them. Not five or seven or eight. But they, all 10 of them, lifted up their voices. Cried out, have mercy. You say, well, I'm just bashful. I'm the quiet type. If you knew what a wretch you are before Almighty God, you wouldn't be. They lifted up their voices. Now notice there was not one competitive spirit among them. Not a one of them cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. If anyone in this bunch deserves mercy, it's me. I'm in the worst shape. I've suffered the longest. Have mercy on me. No, no, it's have mercy on us. All 10 of them crying together. We're all in this, Lord. Have mercy on us. Did not Jesus teach us to pray in Matthew 6? Our Father, which art in heaven. Not my Father. I'm the cream of the crop. Pay attention to me if you pay attention to anybody. No, it's our Father. Our Father. not my father. Here's why you should bless me, Lord. No. There is no selfish, independent spirit to be in the picture anywhere. You pray, our Father, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We're in this together. So they cried, have mercy on us. He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. The priest, that was the order. Still under the Old Testament civil law, that was the order. The priest, back in the book of Leviticus, you can read about this, Leviticus 13 and 14. The priest was to inspect the spots on a person's body if they were suspected to have leprosy, and to pronounce them clean or unclean. Well, these 10 had no evidence they were clean. They were lepers and they knew it. But when Jesus said go, they went. They went on his word only. If you're looking at anything else in religion by which to go, by which to travel, by which to make decisions, by which to live, you're on the wrong track. At his word only, go. Get a hold of his word and go with it. Verse 14, middle of the verse. And it came to pass. There it is again. Why did it come to pass? Because it was ordained, decreed to come to pass. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cured of their leprosy. How many of them? As they went, all 10 of them. They were cleansed, all 10 of them. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. When he saw he was healed, he turned back. He didn't need to go on to the priest who could only pronounce him clean. He turned back to the one who made him clean. When he saw that he was healed, when he saw that the Lord had done something for him, have you seen that the Lord's done anything for you? Why didn't you just lie in the bed this morning instead of getting up and coming to church? Because you know he's done plenty for you. When he saw, he turned back. And with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He wasn't ashamed of what the Lord had done for him. And he was a Samaritan. Boy, there's a lot of folks wishes he hadn't put that in there. He kept mentioning Samaritan, Samaritan, Samaritan through the four Gospels. And he puts it in here too. This 1 out of 10 was a Samaritan. These were probably mostly Jews, and they understood the order, go show yourselves to the priest. But this one was a Samaritan. And I think about the fact that They were all lepers and they were all together. Lepers don't discriminate. Some didn't say, I'm a Jewish leper. I'm better than the Samaritan leper. No, they were all lepers. And I'll tell you what. Sinners ought not discriminate. Huh? Absolutely not. Leprosy broke down the racial barrier. It's easy to look down on somebody that hadn't done right. It's easy to look down on someone that has tragedy and trouble in their families and say, well, you know, if they'd have done what they ought to have done, it'd have been different. You know, we that are so right about everything are pretty quick to tell why bad things happen to other people. But I want to tell you something. When it comes to your house, it breaks down barriers. We're all in this together. They were all lepers. Who you think you're better than is not worth a plug nickel to the Lord or anybody else, especially not to you. How religious you are, how moral you are, what a good family you came from, and I came from a good one. The fact that you've never been arrested, and I haven't. The fact that you've never been drunk, and I haven't. Does that make me better than you? Oh, no. I'm telling you, this leprosy of sin is every bit as filthy in me as it was in Judas Iscariot, Adolf Hitler, and Saddam Hussein. Same sin. Same sin. It's as filthy in me as it is in any other scoundrel that's ever walked the earth. Sin is in our nature. It's not what you do, it's what you are. You do what you do because of what you are. Verse 17, the Lord asked this one Samaritan a question. Were there not 10 cleansed? Two questions, really. Were there not 10 cleansed? Question mark. But where are the 9? Another question mark. 10 is totality. Completeness. 10 is all there is. When you get to 11, you're just starting over. That's 10 and 1. So 10 is all. And in material blessing, it rains on all 10. It rains on the just and the unjust, the book says. And the promise in Genesis after the flood of seed time and harvest while the world stands, that was to all 10. That was to everybody. That's to all humanity. But here, out of the 10, just one turns back and gives thanks. The noted commentator Matthew Henry wrote this about this. He said how those often prove most grateful from whom it was least expected. A Samaritan gives thanks and a Jew does not. Thus, many who profess revealed religion are outdone and quite shamed by some that are governed only by natural religion, not only in moral virtue, but in piety and devotion. This serves here to aggravate the ingratitude of those Jews of whom Christ speaks, as taking it very ill that his kindness was so slighted. And it intimates how justly he resents the ingratitude of the world of mankind, for whom he has done so much and from whom he has received so little. What the nine received was common grace, it's called, a physical healing. But even in their unthankfulness, it was not taken from them. They left there healed. The Lord did that for them. But the secret of the one, the Samaritan, is this. In verse 19, arise, go thy way. Well, let me get the first of the verse. And he, Jesus, said unto him, this one Samaritan, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now don't misunderstand the words, thy faith. Jesus is not referring to the man's self-motivated, pumped up, worked up confidence. He had none. He's referring to true God-given faith. The faith of God's elect that Paul talks about. Faith is the gift of God. Thy God-given faith hath made thee whole. Not just cleansed from leprosy and healed physically of the disease, but made whole. Jesus says, what I've done has registered in your heart. And it was God-given faith that registered. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2 says that all men have not faith. You can turn on your radio, your TV, and listen to these false prophets and heretics preaching, exercise your faith, release your faith, like it's something everybody has. No. Saving faith is not something we have by nature. And it's up to us to develop it and exercise it. Oh, no. It's the gift of God. And when he gives it, it exercises you. You don't exercise it. All men have not faith. Again, that's 2 Thessalonians 3, 2. That's why the other nine couldn't even turn around and say thank you. That's why the multitude today at this Thanksgiving season can't say thank you to the Lord. They've made one big jump from Halloween to Santa Claus. Thanksgiving's not in the picture, but it is for the Lord's people. It is for the Lord's people. The Lord had worked in the other's body. He'd worked in this man's heart. This is discriminating grace. Sovereign grace. The prerogative of our God, according to his word, is to show mercy on whom he will and to have compassion on whom he will. This is the right of the potter out of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. When you go out and live like a fool, it's not, as I used to hear, that you've left God out. It's that he's left you out. See, religion's got this thing all backwards. And if you have a heart for him this morning, how blessed that is. What a gift. What a gift. This is the living God of heaven I'm talking about. The one who said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I've had people tell me, well, that didn't really mean what it said. Well, it's a funny thing to me, the Lord wasn't smart enough to say what he meant. And the religious world today hates the God that said these things. They say, well, God wants everybody to be saved. Well, since he's the one who's got to do it, what's the problem? Well, they won't let him. Then he's not God, is he? Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. It's going to happen. When I speak, they'll hear. And they'll follow. He asked just this one. He didn't ask anybody else. Say, well, I'll come if I want to. If he speaks effectually to your heart, you'll want to. That's what this Bible teaches. Otherwise, you'll play religion with this free will crowd and drop into hell thinking you're in charge. You've never been in charge. It's not your decision if God saves you. It's his mercy. That's the bottom line. So then when the Lord Jesus done this, he made this man whole. He made him whole. In John chapter 5, I know our time's about gone, but hey. At Jerusalem, at the sheep market, John chapter 5, the pool of Bethesda, there lay a great multitude. Now don't ask me how many that is. Of impotent folk. Blind, halt, withered, crippled. All kind of things. And they all needed help. But Jesus never addressed the multitude. He addressed one man. A man who had lain there for 38 years. And Jesus never asked him, would you like to be healed so you can live like the devil and get on with your life? No. Listen carefully to the wording there in John 5. Wilt thou be made whole? Same thing it said about this man, this leper. Made whole. The Lord was saying to him, I've come here to do more than touch your body. I'm here to give you a new heart, to make thee whole. He didn't ask anybody else, just the one. And when the Lord had done that, in John 5, the Jews said to the fellow, hold it. This is against the law. You can't walk around toting your bed on the Sabbath day. And I can imagine this fella, I'm reading between the lines now. Blankety blank, I hadn't walked in 38 years. And this one said to me, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And I'm a walking. And if you think I give a blankety blank what you think about it, you're wrong. Religion. The Lord Jesus Christ, he just wouldn't fit in this nicey-nice stuff nowadays. Mm-mm. Well, let me hurry. Well, I don't want to offend anyone. Listen, they're already offended, and some of you are offended, by the discriminating words and works of grace that our Lord Jesus did and still does. Still does. What made you better than anybody you grew up with that he should save you? I grew up with boys. Many have gone on that some of them are probably in hell. That was a better boy than I was. And you think I'm going to apologize to sissified man-made religion that's trying to make the Lord Jesus out an equal opportunity God? Oh no. He's sovereign. He's very discriminating in his grace. And if he chose you, you'll love it. And if he hadn't, you'll hate him for it. I'm getting out of hand here. Let me back up. Listen, the Lord told Moses, this is Exodus 11:7. Exodus 11:7. That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Can I tell you something? That's the only difference there is in all of Adam's race, is the difference the Lord puts. I don't care if you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Episcopalian, what you are. The Lord puts the difference. And if the Lord don't put that difference, we're all as filthy and low down as anybody on earth. The Lord puts the difference. Now, that difference does not surface in playing religion. I'm going to tell you right now, religious folks without God are the meanest crowd this side of hell. I done had it with them too many times. The difference surfaces in a heart of gratitude. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He's no better and he's no worse than the other nine. Neither are you, neither am I. But it's God's grace this morning that the multitude stays on the broad road. And he's put you on the narrow road. That's grace. That's grace. All right. Thank you for your attention.